to Tuned To Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Lipponier. There's drama in this hour. Later on, from the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars from 1952. But first, an episode of Stars in the Air, called Deep Waters, a CBS episode from April 24th, 1952.
This is William Lundigan.
This is Mona Freeman.
And this is Hugh Douglas, saying welcome to Stars in the Air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your passport to another half hour of poignant and sensitive transcribed drama. A very warm and human story tonight. The story of a man, a girl, and a boy, and what happiness meant for each of them. Stars in the Air is proud to bring you 20th Century Fox Studios' wonderful story, Deep Waters, starring Mona Freeman as the girl and William Lundigan as the man, with Johnny McGovern as the boy. Stars in the Air presents Deep Waters.
It's no use, Hod. I do love you. I love you more than I can tell you, but, well, I guess it's no use.
Why, Anne? Because I make my living out of the sea?
It isn't that. I've told you a dozen times.
I know. It's the same old story. But I was brought up here, a lobsterman. It's my life. I own my own boat, my home, and I like it. And what's more, my father and his father and way on back, they were all lobstermen. They fished this coast for over 200 years.
That's what I mean, Hod. You're making a romance out of something that's just fish. I want something better for us.
All right. You win. I'll take that job in Wendell's office.
No, Hod, it wouldn't work.
But you wanted me to take it.
I know I did, Hod. But you'd be unhappy in an office, and, well, that would make me unhappy. And, oh, Hod, it's no use. Here's your ring.
No, you can't. You know I'd do anything for you, darling.
That's why I'm doing this. Someday, perhaps,
we'll
find a solution.
Please.
Believe me, it's the only way. I love you, Hod. Goodbye.
It hit me pretty hard, all right. Fishing offshore like I did, I had plenty of time to think about it. Late afternoons, when we'd tie the boat up, I'd tramp along the beach and try to tell myself I wasn't just filling in time. I was out there trying to bag a few ducks. Well, at least the ducks were there. And that particular evening, so was somebody else.
Doggone it. Missed.
Tough luck, kid.
Huh?
I was standing right back of you.
I knew something scared him.
Well, now don't hang it on me. They were feeding out. Maybe they'll be back.
Fat lot of good it'll do me. Only had two shells.
Oh, well, even if you'd winged one, it would have just twizzled around and around out there. How'd you get it?
I'd have swum out and brung him in.
Oh, not me. That water's too cold. Hey, aren't you that new fellow up at Mary McKay's?
Yeah, the state kid. An orphan.
I'm Hod Stillwell.
How'd you know about me?
Well, a lady who placed you happened to mention it. She works for the state welfare department.
Miss Anne? Are you a friend of hers?
Yeah, a friend. I guess that's what you'd call her.
What'd she tell you, huh?
Not much, just that you'd run away from a couple of places. Farm, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Didn't like the farm.
I think she said it was a storekeeper after that. Didn't you like him either?
No.
You sort of like it around here, huh?
I sure do.
So do I. Say, how'd you learn to handle a gun like that?
My Uncle Mai taught me. He used to take me gunning.
Uncle Mai? That wouldn't be Captain Mai Mitchell that used to be down at Port Clyde, would it?
What's it to you?
Nothing. I just mentioned it. Well, I guess I'd
better... My name's Mitchell, too. Donnie Mitchell.
Uh-huh. I wondered if there wasn't some connection. I went to the banks one season with Captain Mai.
You did?
Uh-huh. Guess I knew your Pa, too. He was a good man with a shotgun, wasn't he?
Uncle Mai said Pa was the best shot in the county. I tried to tell old Farmer Elkins that, but... Oh, I guess nobody don't recollect Pa no more.
Now, where did you get that idea? Plenty of folks remember John Mitchell. You want to talk to my partner, Joe Sanger. He shipped with your Pa for a couple of years.
Sanger? He's a Portuguese, ain't he?
Yeah? Why?
I don't like Portuguese.
Son, your Pa nor your Uncle Mai either never let anybody tell him about a feller. They always went out and found out for themselves. Well, it's getting pretty late. Hadn't you better get back to the mainland? Got your chores to do yet, haven't you?
Ain't gonna do no more chores. I ain't going back.
I know how you feel. I used to hate chores, too. Still, you can't leave folks to worry like that. Maybe we better head for home.
You mean you're gonna take me back?
Oh, no. I wouldn't say that. But I've got a couple of nice fat ducks here, and I want to take them over to Mary McKay. Maybe if she had these ducks, she wouldn't worry so much about the chores, huh? Come on, kid, let's go.
Mary, you mean to say the boy just went? Just disappeared?
That's why I called you, Anne. I'll never forgive myself, never.
But what happened? Didn't he say anything?
I scolded him this morning for dilly-dallying with the wood. Then when I went out at noon to call him for dinner, there was the saw. Broke clean in two and him gone.
You don't suppose something happened?
Suppose. Oh, I've near been out of my mind. When it come to supper time and he didn't show up,
Mary, the door.
Hello, Miss McKay.
Donnie, where you been?
He's been with me.
That's little comfort, Hod Stillwell. Don't just stand there. Come in.
Why, Donnie, you're soaking wet.
Hello, Ann. Sure, up on the bow when we're riding across, chap. It's a good way to get wet.
Donnie, you kite yourself upstairs and you get out of them wet clothes. Do you hear? Go on now, skitter.
Yes'm, I'm going.
Looking like a drowned kitten and not a bite of supper. Oh, I better fix him something.
How about me?
Oh, all right. No more trouble for two than for one. I'll go out and
find
something.
Hod?
Yeah, Ann?
What's the real reason Donnie stayed away?
He's afraid of Mary, I guess.
Of Mary?
Mm-hmm. Seems he broke the saw accidentally, and he couldn't face her about it. He's just plain scared.
About a little thing like that?
I guess it seemed pretty big to him. That boy's had a rough time somewhere, Ann.
I know.
It's bad for a kid to get that frightened. He needs some help.
I know that, too. Well, thanks, Hod, for bringing him back.
Anything to help you on your job. And besides, I've been wanting to see you
anyway. I'm sorry, Hod. I've got to run. Ma's holding supper.
But, Ann...
Mary, I'm going now.
Well, thanks for coming by, dear. Oh, Hod, will you see her to the car? Hod!
It's a pleasure.
Back inside already, Hod?
Here I am.
That was quick. Looks like it was successful, though.
Huh?
You got lipstick.
Oh.
When's the wedding gonna be?
There's nothing like asking, is there?
Nope.
Well, I'm afraid there isn't gonna be any wedding.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. She'll kiss a lobsterman, but she just won't marry him.
Smart girl. Maybe.
Huh?
All right. Sit down. Food's almost ready. Donnie, get a move on you here.
Yes'm. Be right down.
Mary, that boy isn't too much for you, is he?
Him? Oh, don't be silly. He's just as quiet and gentle as a 2-year-old bull.
He needs a lot of handling. He's had a pretty tough road to hoe.
Well, so's everybody else. Life ain't no clamby.
Maybe, Mary, I could use that boy on a boat Saturdays.
How's that?
Pay him 2 bits an hour.
You don't say.
Uh-huh.
You and him cook this up?
Well, I just thought of it. It's not a bad idea, either. He might make enough to pay for the saw.
Who said anything about paying for the saw?
Well, just the same. We leave around 5. You'd have to get him up pretty early. Did you hear what I said? We leave about 5.
All right. He'll be on time. You'll have to excuse the looks of the place. Being Saturday morning and all the weekend cleaning.
Don't worry about me, Mary. I just stopped by with Donnie's maintenance check.
$12.50 a month to feed that little Indian.
Shall I take him back?
Don't tempt me.
Where is he this morning? I haven't seen him around.
Oh, I let him go with Hod, fishing.
Fishing? In a boat?
Well, I never heard tell of fishing on land.
But you think you should have done that, Mary? Suppose something happened.
With Hod? There ain't a better fisherman on the coast. Reminds me, how come you're not going to marry him?
How'd you know?
Oh, I found out. What's the trouble?
Well, we just couldn't agree on what we wanted to do. He had a chance for a good job, and he didn't want it. And I don't want him to fish, so...
Maybe he likes to fish.
Well, I don't want to be a fisherman's wife.
Why not?
You're not afraid, are you?
Maybe. Maybe I am. There isn't a family in town that hasn't lost a father, a son, someone. Well, you lost your husband off of Newfoundland.
Suppose I did. He was doing what he wanted to.
Yes, but what about you? And what about Molly Thatcher? They found her husband's body this morning. He smashed up on Hazlett's Rock.
Oh, that's too bad.
I tell you, I won't live like that. I won't sit at home and wait and wait and worry about a man just because he thinks he's got the only job in the world.
Plenty of women have lived like that, Anne.
Sure they have. Generations of them. Just because their men wouldn't do anything else. Why?
I don't know. But it's the truth, all right. Generations of them have. Just like you and just like me. Anne, you needn't worry about Donnie. He's all right with Hod.
That's a nice lot of fish, Hod. Comes to 57.80. That's a pretty good day.
Not bad, Nick, not bad.
Mighty fine bluefish there. Didn't know there was running.
Well, depends on who's fishing for him.
Oh, you land him, Hod?
Nope.
No, Joe get him?
No, not me.
Now, don't tell me he up and jumped right in the boat.
Nick, meet my new partner, Donnie Mitchell. He got that blue with a broken-down old reel. Didn't even have a drag on it.
Say, that's some fish, boy.
Yes, sir.
Mitchell, Mitchell. You wouldn't be no relation to old Cap'n My Mitchell or Johnny Mitchell now, would you?
Sure. Cap'n My was my uncle. John was my father.
Well, I should have known.
Here you are, Donnie. Here's your share. $7.50 cash on the barrelhead.
Oh, gee, Hod. I never earned that much. I had too much fun.
A lot of money, son. What you gonna get with it?
I'm gonna get me a brand new reel and...
A what?
I said a brand new saw.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought you were.
Hi,
I said.
Donnie!
Hey, Miss Anne! Come on down! Come on! Gee, look at the fish I caught. All by myself. A 14-pound blue.
Oh, it's a beauty, Donnie. Now you run up and get into my car and wait for me there.
But I gotta help Joe wash down the deck.
I think Joe can do it alone. Go ahead now. I want to talk to Hod for a moment.
Yes, sir. Okay, Miss Anne.
I wish you hadn't done that, Anne.
What?
That boy's just had the greatest day of his life. You've taken some of the edge off for him.
I'm sorry, but that's what I want to talk to you about. You mustn't take him out anymore.
Why not? He loved it.
I'm quite sure he did. But Donnie's a ward of the state, not just a kid about town. Mary's responsible. I'm responsible.
What could happen to him on my boat?
On a boat in the open sea. A lot of things.
Oh, don't be silly. He could break his neck in the backyard.
I'm sorry, Hod. It mustn't happen again.
But, Anne, I promised him for next Saturday. I've made a deal with him. I can't go back on my word.
Then you'll just force me to take him away.
All right. If that's the way you want it, okay, Anne. Toughest job I ever had in my life, telling that kid. Couldn't give him any reasons either. Had to let him think I just changed my mind. I told myself he'd be all right. He'd get over it. Kids forget pretty fast. That's how much I knew about it. Anyway, it must have been about a week later. Joe and I were coming in. Still pretty far out, running through a good-sized squall.
She's turning over 2,200. Maybe we push her a little bit, huh?
Won't do much good when you have to quarter like this. Pretty rough out here. Oh, I'm glad I got
a boat. Hey, Hod, look. There come Nick Driver. What he want out here?
That can't be Nick Driver. He's gone up to Portland.
But that's his skiff. I know that outboard. Hod, that's the kid. It's Donnie.
Donnie, are you sure?
Absolutely. I see his face when he turned.
I wonder what's happened. You think maybe he was looking for us?
He just take a joyride. That kid, he loved boats.
But he's heading out to sea. Joe, hard about.
Hard about. Okay.
Now pour it on. We're going after him. Another few minutes and we'd have been too late. We pulled up alongside just as a big one turned his boat over. We managed to get a rope to the kid, hauled him aboard, and dumped him on the deck wet and gasping. And then we put about and hightailed it for home.
Mary, I'm so disappointed. After planning a surprise for him like this...
Can't imagine where the little devil's gone. And he's been so good all week. If it weren't storming so, I'd...
Hello in there. Anybody home?
Well, in the name of...
Hod, he was with you.
Again.
Hand wet.
Yep, he fell in the water. Every time you do that, you get wet.
And on his birthday, too, and me with a birthday cake and everything. Young man, you get right upstairs and change, you hear? Go on, scat. No, no, wait. Wait for me. I'll put out your new suit and I'll draw your hot bath.
Oh, this is something to walk into, all right, after what happened today.
What happened, Hod?
Man, I don't want to worry you, but Donnie was running away.
Running away?
He took Nick Driver's boat and tried to head for Boston.
Oh, Hod, that's terrible. Why would he do a thing like that?
I guess he's confused, all mixed up. He comes from a fishing family, Ann. It's in his blood. The only thing he loves is the sea and boats. And you brought him here right to the edge of it and then put up a wall with a big sign, keep out. What do you expect the kid to do?
But I told you, Hod, I'm responsible for him. I have a duty.
Well, it's up to you, Ann. The boy can go two ways, and you've got to make the decision. Wish him a happy birthday for me. Good night.
Hey, Hod! Hod!
Hello, Donnie.
Hey, Hod! Miss McKay said I could come and tell you Miss Ann said it was all right with the state for me to work on your boat. Ain't that swell?
Sure, Donnie. I'm glad to hear it. There's just one little matter we've got to get settled.
What's that, Hod?
Nick Driver's boat. Who's going to pay for that?
Oh, that's all fixed. Miss McKay, she paid him already.
Donnie, do you think it's right to have somebody else pay for your mistakes?
Oh, gee, Hod.
Nick set a lot of store by that boat. If he'd reported you to the police, you might have been sent to reform school. I've never had a partner who's been to reform school.
Hod, if you take me on your boat, if you let me work for you on Saturdays till school's over, well, then I could work for you every day, and I'll pay back every cent of it. Honest.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
And I'll do all my chores, too. Every one of them. I promise you.
Well...
Please, Hod.
Okay, 5:30 Saturday morning. We'll get a good early start, and then maybe we can... Hey, Donnie! Donnie! Donnie, where are you going?
I gotta go and tell Miss McKay. Miss McKay! Miss McKay!
There he is now.
In here, Donnie.
Hello, Miss Ann. I was just down to see Hod, and I... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know he had company.
Donnie, this is Mr. Harris from the sheriff's office.
Sheriff's office?
He says you sold a camera to Mr. Hopkins down at the swap shop. Did you, Donnie? Tell me the truth.
Yes'm.
Where'd you get the camera, Donnie?
Martin's drugstore.
Did Mr. Martin give it to you?
No.
You just took it when no one was looking and went out and sold it to Mr. Hopkins for $4. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Donnie, why?
I was going to run away. I needed some bus fare. I thought Hod didn't like me anymore and wouldn't take me on his boat.
Ms. McKay, I'll have to take him to Bellport, turn him over to the juvenile authorities.
I suppose. Donnie, I'm not going to tell you not to take it hard. Because it's bitter hard. For me, too.
Donnie, I'll do all I can. So will Hod.
He ain't gonna tell Hod.
But he'll want to help
us. No, don't tell him. Don't tell him, you hear? I don't want him to know. I don't want him to know.
Why not?
Because I know what they'll do. They'll put me in reform school. Don't tell Hod. Please. You gotta promise.
All right, Donnie. I promise. I won't tell Hod. I'm sorry, Hod. It's no use asking. I can't tell you where he is.
But, Ann, this is all ridiculous. Harry closing up the house like that all of a sudden, going over to Portland to live with her brother, and the kid just disappearing.
Please, Hod.
Doesn't make sense. Donnie was so crazy to work on my boat.
Well, he wrote you, didn't he?
Sure. A letter that didn't say anything. Just that he was living in Ferriston on a farm. And now you won't tell me anything either.
I can't. I'm not permitted.
Why not? Oh, Annie. I thought you'd beaten this thing when you decided to let Donnie go out on my boat, but... I guess not.
That isn't it. You don't understand.
Well, maybe you don't either. Everyone who goes out on a boat isn't drowned. People die everywhere, even home and in bed. You're letting this thing get out of control. Just because you're afraid of the sea...
Hod, you're all wrong. That's not the reason I moved him.
Well, then what was?
I can't tell you that. I promised.
All right, Ann. I won't make you break a promise.
Oh, thank you, Hod.
But you're forcing me to find out some other way.
No, Hod, please. Believe me, you'll only hurt him if you do.
That's a chance I'll have to take. we're going to lay off a couple of days next week. Might have to take an extra hitch in our belts.
Then what for are you so happy, huh?
I just got all the dope about Donnie. He's not on a farm. He's in a reform school.
That make you laugh because he's in a reform school?
Ah, don't be a dope. I've been talking to Josh Hovey, the state senator. He's got a lot of pull. He's promised to help.
He's going to get Donnie out, huh?
Mm-hmm. I got my fingers crossed. We're having a special hearing next week. I've asked the court to let me adopt him.
Yeah, that's good. We get a new partner, huh?
Uh-huh.
You come and live with us and work
sure.
on the boat.
Sure.
Hey, Hod.
Huh?
What about Miss Ann? What's she going to say?
Plenty, I guess. But Joe, I never run from a squall. Not when I've got a fighting chance. And this is something I'm going to fight for.
Let me see now. Are both interested parties present? Mr. Hod Stillwell, the petitioner.
Here, Your Honor.
Miss Ann Freeman for the Welfare Department.
I'm Miss Freeman, Your Honor.
Well, now, this is more or less a family affair. I don't think we need to be so formal. Miss Freeman, why don't you come over here and sit beside the petitioner, huh? Mr. Stillwell, I'm sure you won't mind.
No, sir.
Now then, Mr. Stillwell, you petitioned the court to adopt Donnie Mitchell. That's rather unusual for a bachelor. I wonder if you'd give me some of your reasons.
Well, Your Honor, I know the boy. I knew his father and his uncle, and I think I can offer him more advantages than the state reform school can.
Are you financially able and prepared to care for the boy?
I think so, Your Honor. I'm a lobsterman. I own my own home and my boat. I make a pretty good living.
Yes, that seems to be authenticated. And I have a letter here from Mrs. McKay, with whom the boy was previously placed.
She doesn't want him back, does she?
Matter of fact, she does. But she thinks he'd be better off with you.
Oh.
Now, let's have some expression from the welfare board. Miss Freeman?
Your Honor, we've had a lot of trouble with Donnie Mitchell. For the most part, he's been insubordinate, sullen, resentful, unwilling even to let us help
Your
him.
Honor,
but now I think we know why. And it isn't his fault. It's ours. It's mine.
Anne.
You see, we forgot one thing. We couldn't take Donnie away from the sea. There's something in him that's so deep-rooted that it's useless to fight against it. And that's where we made our mistake. We tried to fight it, and we failed.
Yes, go on.
Donnie needs love, guidance, from someone he trusts, someone who understands his love for the sea. The board recommends the petition be granted.
Anne, darling.
Oh, Hod.
No personalities, please. Miss Freeman, I am in complete sympathy with your views, but you will understand I have a grave responsibility. Before I can make a decision, I must know what the boy's feelings are. He's in the next room. I'll bring him in. All right, son. You can come in now.
Donnie.
Hiya, Donnie.
Yeah, no need to be frightened, Donnie. They're old friends, aren't they? Donnie, Mr. Stillwell wants you to come and live with him. He wants to adopt you, make you his son. Would you like that? Hmm? Would you, Donnie?
No.
Donnie,
don't you want to live with Joe and me, work on the boat every day, be my partner?
No.
Why not?
I got reasons.
Come here, Donnie. I want to talk to you. Don't you like Hod anymore?
Yes.
Then why don't you want to live with him? Be on his boat with him again?
Because I've been in reform school, that's why. Because I stole a camera.
But I knew that, Donnie.
You did?
Sure.
You really did?
Of course he did.
So you went and told him, huh? And you promised me you never would.
She didn't tell me, Donnie. I found out myself.
And you didn't care?
No, not a bit. That's why I'm here.
But Hod, I was in reform school.
I know, Donnie. You made a mistake. But you paid for it. Everybody makes mistakes, son. The important thing is not to make them again.
Gee, Hod, if I can come and live with you and work on the boat. Oh, gee. It'll be just like it used to be, won't it?
Yes, except for one little change.
What change, Miss Ann?
Well, I really haven't asked Hod yet, but...
Donnie, You know, I got a little hunch.
You have?
I think our boat is going to have two mates.
And so the curtain falls on another memorable Stars in the Air production. But now back on stage for a final word. Here are the stars of our play tonight, William Lundigan and Mona Freeman.
Hugh, we just want to say how wonderful it was to be here tonight. This radio program supports one of the really great causes in our industry, the motion picture Country House and Hospital. And all of us are proud to help by appearing here. Isn't that so, Bill?
Absolutely, Mona. There isn't anyone in Hollywood who wouldn't feel honored by being asked to appear on this stage. And I guess that wraps it up, so what do you say we run along?
Hey, what's your hurry?
Well, Hugh Douglas is waiting to announce next week's show, and I've got to get up at 4 tomorrow morning.
4 in the morning? Good heavens, why?
It sounds a little like typecasting, but the truth of it is, I'm going fishing.
Oh.
Good night, everybody, and thanks.
Thanks again. Good night.
Attention, please, for a most important announcement. Beginning a week from Saturday on May 3rd, Stars in the Air will be heard at a new time. Every Saturday night on most of these same stations. Consult your local papers for the exact hour. Remember, Stars in the Air, every Saturday night over most of these same stations. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Stars in the Air, on Tuned to Yesterday, from April 24, 1952, on CBS. Co-star William Lundigan was best known for his work on the silver screen, but he actually got his start in radio after graduating from Syracuse University. His father owned the building that held local radio station WFBL, and after a movie producer heard him on the air reading a commercial, he was so intrigued by the voice that he ordered talent scouts to hunt Lundigan down, which led him to a career in Hollywood on the silver screen. This is an hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for the La Rosa Hollywood Theater with the play called It's a Game, a 1952 syndicated episode.
Thank you very much, and greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. This is C.P. McGregor speaking. Welcome to the La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars, radio's greatest daytime dramatic program. Every day, a complete 30-minute drama from Hollywood. Every day, a famous Hollywood star. Today, our star is Dana Andrews, and the title of our play, It's a Game. We are happy indeed to be back with you again and with our very fine sponsor, V. La Rosa and Sons. In this new series, we will bring you better stars and stories than ever before, and we hope that you'll be with us every day. The curtain rises on Act One of It's a Game, starring Dana Andrews as Robert Desmond. The scene in our play occurred some years ago in the racetrack in Scotland. Two countrymen are tense with interest over the outcome of the final race. Private wagers between them are to be paid at its conclusion. It is the moment of moments, the finish, with the crowd going mad. And now in the box on the upper tier of the grandstand.
A braw race, Mr. McIntyre. High as fine a race as I have ever seen, Mr. McIntyre.
But your wager was on Heather Queen, Mr. Desmond. You lost, man.
Mere £2,000. But your horse won. And finally, too. Very finely. Congratulations, Mr. McIntyre.
Name of heaven, man. Are you flesh or are you iron? You lose a fortune because your horse loses by a head. And your only words are congratulations for someone else.
But I'm glad for you. And now our private bit. Barclay, where's that man of mine? Barclay!
Yes, Mr. Desmond, sir.
Oh, my American estate, Barclay. I made a wee wager with Mr. McIntyre here that if his horse beat mine in the race just now, I'd sell it to him at half its worth.
American estate, sir? You're selling that?
Aye, Barclay. What about the size? Around 8,000 acres, is it not?
More nearly 10,000, sir. Some of the finest terrain in all southern New Mexico, overlooking the Rio Grande.
It all seems perfect, lad, but
I feel some guilt about that price. It's not enough.
It's the price I named, sir. Foolish or wisely. And there's not could induce me to take a farthing more. Anyway, not from a fellow Scotsman.
You're a broad lad, Robert Desmond. And then we'll meet in the morning to close the deal.
Aye, sir. And you know, it's only proper you should have an estate there on the other side. But as I recall it now, there was a McIntyre who practically molded American history. That, Signor Alberto, is the price I have named, and nothing would induce me to take a pasetto more. Nothing could induce me to... Oh, it's no use, Barclay, it's no use. We'll have to forget about Signor Alberto for a while. For some reason, the Spanish escapes me.
Ah, but if you'll recall, you also had trouble with Russian, sir. And you finally mastered it. The Spanish will come. It's only a matter of time, sir.
Indeed. And I'm not so sure that I care, Barclay.
Not care, sir?
I'm about fed up, Barclay. I'm tired of dashing from country to country, staying in one place only until we've lined up a victim, then having sold him, rushing away to someplace else. You may believe it or not, but I was positively reluctant to cash Sir Richard's check before we left London.
Reluctant, sir? But why? Is it your fault if people insist on buying your property from you?
Insist, Barclay? Of course, those little plans of ours have nothing to do with it. Accents and all the rest.
We didn't make human nature what it is, sir. And if it's a fact that a Scotsman will more readily trust a Scotsman, a Swede, and so on, are we to be blamed for taking advantage of that fact? Particularly when I have the accents to teach you, and you, sir, have the, savoir-faire to carry them off? Ah, oh, what an actor you would have made, sir.
You flatter me, Barclay. But there's one thing you overlook. A matter of conscience. Aren't you ever the least disturbed by the moral aspect of our activity?
Not at all, sir. After all, you were the real victim in the first place. The injustice of it all. Your Uncle Joseph going off to America, then dying and leaving you 100,000 acres in New Mexico.
Uncle Joseph could hardly be blamed for dying, Barclay.
But he could be blamed, sir, for fostering false hopes. That trip we made, sir, to your American estates. And our first sight of them. Miles, actually miles of desert.
And the river, Barclay. Don't forget the river.
A damp mirage, sir, if I may call it that. A damp mirage complete with quicksands.
I've never told you this, Barclay. But there was a strong rumor that my Uncle Joseph came by the entire 100,000 acres in a poker game.
A poker game? You mean he won, sir?
No, Barclay. He lost.
I believe it. And now what of the future, sir?
The future, Barclay?
Quite, sir. The only prospect I've been able to line up for us, sir, is Signor Alberto. But if you feel your Spanish is not yet equal to the task, well...
Suppose we simply rest a while, Barclay. What time do we arrive in Nice?
At 7, sir.
Good. That won't be too late to catch a train for Monte Carlo.
Not Monte Carlo, sir. Not Monte Carlo. Surely you remember the last time.
Barclay, there's an indescribable something that draws me to Monte Carlo once again. And this time I shall win.
Very well, sir. But, Mr. Desmond, just in case you shouldn't, sir, wouldn't it be well to, remain incognito for just a day or so? When you first arrive, I mean.
In other words, you want me to lie low while you line up another victim. Is that it?
You put it so eloquently, sir. After all, there is still that one last section of your American estates to be disposed of, and...
Oh, Barclay, Barclay, you're right, as always. And it shall be done. Until you find out what nationality I can afford to be, I'll compromise by being international with my French. But you needn't fear, I'm going to win. I have a system, Barclay, that can't miss.
Make your place, mesdames, messieurs.
I beg your pardon, sir, but could I be troubling you to put this on my number?
Comment? Que voulez-vous?
My number. 27 it is, and I can't be reaching it. Would you be so kind as to...
Monsieur speaks no English, mademoiselle. Here, if you please. I shall place it for you.
Thank you. Oh, three.
Oui, the mademoiselle is correct.
Oh, and these are my last three chips, Mr. Banker. And I'm the one who always swore I'd break the bank at Monte Carlo. tell me, what are the chances of you doing something about it this time?
I can try, mademoiselle. And make your place.
I beg your pardon, monsieur, would you? Oh, but I forgot. You don't speak.
Mais oui, mademoiselle. That's it. Comme ça?
Yes, 27. I didn't think that you understood. Oh.
Oh. 26 and black. Oh. What a pity, mademoiselle. You missed by a single point. You wish more chips?
No. No, I don't think that I'll be playing anymore. I thank you just the same.
Croupier. Yes, monsieur. Garde mes jetons.
Eh bien, monsieur.
Mademoiselle. Mademoiselle.
Yes, who is it? Oh, it's you.
Oui, mademoiselle.
Well, monsieur, I'm hoping now that because I asked you to place my bets for me in there, that you don't think I'm... Oh, but you don't speak English, do you?
No, but perhaps I do speak a bit of Irish.
Well, glory be. Oh, and will you be telling me what was the idea of a fellow Irishman playing the Sphinx on me in there? And all the time I was trying to keep those foreigners from...
Sure, and you mustn't be quitting when you've lost. Come back and play until you win.
Well, now, to be truthful, I've no money left.
I'll lend you some. You can pay me back from what you win.
And do I look to you like a girl who borrows money from a total stranger?
But I'm not a stranger. We're fellow countrymen. Probably the only two Irishmen in the whole of Monte Carlo, just at this moment.
Oh, do you think so now?
And as for knowing each other, that's quickly remedied. I'm Robert Desmond.
Are you indeed?
Well?
Well?
Is that all you have to say?
And what should I say? Hurrah?
Well, the truth to tell, I was just slightly curious who you might be.
Oh, worry you now. Well, truth to tell, I might be almost anyone at all. But if it's really curious you are, my name is O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? A fairish name, O'Rourke.
Oh, is it indeed? And perhaps you'll find Eileen is only fairish too.
Eileen. Sure, and it would be a name like that. Eileen, Maureen, Kathleen, a name as Irish as the Isle itself. Faith, and no other name would suit you. Have dinner with me tonight. Luncheon tomorrow.
Dinner, luncheon, which do you mean?
Well, why not both?
Ah, but you overlook one thing, Mr. Desmond. There happens to be a certain Mr. Thomas O'Rourke, who happens to be my father, and who happens to be at Monte Carlo, too.
Your father? Well, bring him along. Both of you be my guests.
All right, perhaps we will. Mind now, I said perhaps. Then on the other hand, perhaps we won't. Good night, Mr. Desmond.
Good night. Good night, Eileen.
Ah, Mr. Desmond, sir. You must have won, judging by your face, sir.
Won, Barclay?
At the roulette, sir, surely.
Ah, can you imagine it? Sure, and I'd clean forgot it ahead.
Sure, and you'd clean forgot. And may I ask, sir, when the green mantle descended?
Just 10 minutes ago, Barclay. I told you we should have come to Monte Carlo.
Indeed, sir.
She's beautiful, Barclay. She's perfect.
You should see her eyes, blue and laughing.
Her hair, with just the faintest shade of reddish to it. Ah.
If I may make so bold, sir, who is she?
Her name's Eileen Barclay. Eileen O'Rourke.
O'Rourke? And her father, sir. He wouldn't be Thomas O'Rourke.
Yes. As a matter of fact, he is.
Ah, then you were right, sir. Monte Carlo has brought us luck. To think that you should have started it off so well.
Started it off? What are you talking about?
The girl's father, Thomas O'Rourke. I had him all picked out. He's our next, our final victim, sir.
Now, Act Two of It's a Game, starring Dana Andrews as Robert Desmond. 3 weeks have passed. 3 extremely Irish weeks, and to the despair of Barclay, the final sale of the last of the American estates has not taken place. And it looks as though it never will. For as our curtain rises...
My father and I both wanted to say goodbye to you, Robert.
And it's been a privilege knowing you, Desmond. That it has.
I'm honored, Mr. O'Rourke.
You've probably guessed by now, Robert. My father isn't overfond of America.
And why should I be? Aren't you overfond enough for the both of us? Since she was 4, she's been talking about going to New York. And you haven't helped it any, Robert, with talk of those estates of yours.
I'm sure they couldn't compare to your Donnelly Castle, Mr. O'Rourke.
You can be sure they don't. We may not have 10,000 acres, but we've traditions. 800 years of them, and a castle that Brian Boru himself...
Come now, Father, Father. Robert's not interested in all of that. And besides, you started to say goodnight.
I did I? Well, goodnight. Goodbye to you, Desmond. Good luck.
Thank you, sir.
Eileen, you're coming along upstairs.
I'll be just a minute. Please, Father.
Well, see there is no more. Goodbye to you, Desmond.
Goodbye, sir. I don't believe it.
What don't you believe?
That I'm actually talking to you alone. Do you realize I haven't since that first night?
When I was so unlucky at roulette, and you were playing your system? Whatever happened to that system, by the way?
I think the less said about that, the better.
Ah. You've had bad luck since you've been here?
Bad luck? The one real piece of luck I've ever had was when a blue-eyed Irish girl happened to have the place next to me at the roulette table.
Robert.
Eileen.
I must go, truly, Father.
And when shall I see you again?
Who knows? We sail tomorrow. And Castle Donnelly is pretty far from the Desmond Estate in New Mexico.
You're right. It's much too far. What can we do about it, Eileen?
How would I be known? But of course, if when my father and I sailed on that boat from Marseille tomorrow, if a certain Irish-American should happen to be on board, if he should happen to all of a sudden get extremely interested in old Irish castles, well, all I can say is Thomas O'Rourke is a very hospitable man. Good night, Mr. Robert Desmond.
Eileen.
Yes, Robert?
Have I ever told you how beautiful you are?
Not unless I'm supposed to hear things from your eyes. Then maybe you have, a little.
Have you never felt things too deeply to be able to find just the words for them?
I can imagine it, Robert.
Eileen, listen to me.
I'm listening.
The time I've lost in wooing, in watching and pursuing, the light that lies
in woman's eyes has been my heart's undoing. That's how the rest of it goes. Did you forget?
No, I didn't forget. But those are someone else's words, Eileen. And when you have verses from me, sure, and they'll be my own.
Will they now?
And there's something I want you to remember. Will you do that?
I'll remember. I promise you.
And it's this. That there are times when a man can hate himself for what he is, and wish with all his heart that he was something else.
Sure, and that's a strange thing for you to say.
Well, it takes the place of a lot of other things, I'd rather say.
I see.
Eileen, look at me.
There's no need.
You...
And now, you must listen to me, Robert. Donnelly Castle, despite all that you've heard my father say of it, I hate that place. And there's nothing I want more than to get away.
Eileen.
Remember, you said once that you might dispose of your estates over in America. Well, I've been talking to my father about them.
About buying them?
No, about trading them. Trading our estates in Ireland for yours over there. And I believe that with your help, my father could be won around.
You want me to help you sell your father?
Oh, please, Robert, please. America has always been my dream. And from what you say of your estates, there's no place that I'd rather live. Please, Robert, please help me with my father to the trade. You must, Robert. You can't know what it means to me.
Well, Desmond, you've seen Donnelly Castle for yourself. And if you've a heart, you've come to feel much of the tradition that clings to her very walls.
I have indeed, sir.
But since Eileen has got her foolish heart set on this American estate of yours, I'll indulge her in this, as I have in everything since you was born. We'll make the trade. You have here the map of your estates?
Yes.
Here it is, sir. And I took it on myself to have a solicitor draw up a bill of sale, sir.
10,000 acres. And you value it at £10,000.
That's the figure, sir.
And that same amount is only a fair price for the castle here. I have an agreement drawn up, too, and here it is. All ordered and shipshape. And O'Rourke signing away Donnelly. Oh, well. What matter how I feel,
It matters a great deal how you feel, Mr. O'Rourke.
Eh? Well, what is it?
A telegram just came for you, Father. It is marked urgent.
A telegram?
Yes.
Well, no. Oh.
Father, are you...
Oh, I'm all right, Eileen, all right. It's just that our agreement, Mr. Desmond, I shan't be able to go through with it now. I'm sorry. Believe me.
It's impossible. But Eileen, my dear, if your father's in some sort of trouble, there's a chance that I can help.
Oh, you couldn't, Robert. Believe me.
I'll believe you when you look up here at me. And tell me what's wrong. You must, Eileen.
All right. All right, Robert. My father can't trade Dinelli Castle to you because he must sell it at once for cash. He must have money. Now.
But why?
Investments, Robert. Speculations that were worthless. And now there's a debt that must be met, and only cash can meet it.
How much does he need?
Nearly 4,000. So you see, there's no hope, Robert.
Is there not? Perhaps there is. Eileen, how much is Dinelli Castle really worth? In cash, I mean.
Why do you ask that?
Because I'm going to pay your father what it's worth. And with the understanding that when he's ready, he can buy it back for the same price.
Oh, Robert. But why?
Why? Because you've made me want to be something I've never been, Eileen. And this is the beginning.
Robert.
I love you, Eileen.
Oh, I can't. I can't do it.
Eileen, look at me. You're crying.
You've got to know, Robert. I'm not what you...
What are you trying to say?
That I'm not... What are you trying to say?
Just this. That I'm not Irish, that my estates in America are desert, and that I love you.
Robert! Oh, Robert!
What were you trying to say?
That I'm not Irish. That Dad and I never owned more than an option on any castle in creation. And that I love you.
Darling.
Oh, my sweet. Oh, if only I'd known you were a phony from the first. The torture it would have saved me.
Sure, and what about... and what about me? So, from the beginning, I've been the victim of a hoax.
Yes, from the beginning, darling. That night in the casino at Monte Carlo, Father picked you out especially because you looked so honest and so dumb.
And of course, there have been other victims before.
Oh, a dozen of them. Robert, we've sold so many castles in this country for 3 times what they're worth.
And I suppose that each of your victims fell in love with you.
I'm afraid they did, Mr. Desmond. Do you mind too much?
Mind? Come here.
I'm here.
I suppose you know that you're a shameless woman.
Completely.
And that you should be turned over to the nearest constable.
Exactly. Along with you.
Always. Always with me. From this day forward, you have my word on it.
Only your word, darling?
No, by heaven.
Oh, my darling. My own darling.
Eileen, did you... Eileen!
Mr. Desmond, sir.
Hi, Dad. How's the old man?
Greetings, Barclay. How's tricks?
Oh, really, Eileen? Now, I ask you, is that any way...
Oh, relax, Dad, relax. Huh? You'll stand out as comedy relief. We're playing this scene straight.
What? This would seem to be wolf meeting wolf, Mr. O'Rourke. I'm not going to buy your traditions, and you're not going to buy my desert.
Oh, sir, you shouldn't have said that, sir, if you don't mind my saying.
Well, I do mind your saying it, Barclay. Which reminds me that you're fired. But if you can conceive of yourself as being honest again, we'll take you back to America with us. Right, Miss O'Rourke?
Right, Mr. Desmond.
Eileen, you mean we're going home?
I'll say we are.
And now that I think of it, I should have been back in America long ago. You know what, Barclay?
What, sir?
As I recall it, there was a Desmond who practically molded American history. And if there wasn't, there's going to be.
And so the curtain falls on Act Two of It's a Game. Our star, Dana Andrews, will be back to our La Rosa microphone in just a moment.
See, taste, compare. Prove to yourself the superiority of La Rosa macaroni, spaghetti, egg noodles. Tonight, make the three-way La Rosa quality test. One, see La Rosa's natural golden color, the pure sunshine color of the world's finest semolina, the cream of this year's great Durum wheat harvest. Two, taste that luscious La Rosa flavor, richer, smoother, more delicious. Taste that just right, firm yet tender texture. Three, compare La Rosa with any other macaroni, spaghetti, or egg noodles you ever tasted. Once you try La Rosa, you'll never serve anything but La Rosa. Serve it often. Enjoy real economy. It's the greatest food value on your grocer's shelf. Enjoy a La Rosa treat tonight. Get the brand with a big red rose on every package. Get La Rosa, America's largest selling macaroni, spaghetti, egg noodles. And for real economy, remember it's a full pound. Now, once again, our producer.
Dana, I know that our audience is familiar with the story of your rise to stardom, how you got interested in dramatics at the Sam Houston College, and after graduation, you decided to become a singer, went to New York, came to Hollywood to become an actor or a singer, and found a job as a service station attendant in the San Fernando Valley. And then you enrolled in the Pasadena Playhouse. Is that right?
That's right, C.P. And I rather thought that I might get, if not the lead in my first production, well, anyway, the second lead. So they handed me a spear and asked me if I got the point. I did.
Well, Dana, it certainly led to many wonderful things for you, such as your introduction to Sam Goldwyn. Yours has been an amazing road, but an eminently successful one. And on behalf of La Rosa and myself, thanks again for being with us. Be sure to listen tomorrow, Dana, and ladies and gentlemen, when we bring you lovely Anne Jeffries in the delightful play It Takes Two. Until tomorrow, then, thanks for listening, and cheerio from Hollywood.
The La Rosa Hollywood Theater of Stars on Tuned 2 yesterday, a 1952 syndicated episode, bringing to a close this hour of drama on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lepionier. Thanks for tuning in.